This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Maintaining bone strength is complex with no single solution. My patients who want to optimize their bone health have seen remarkable results with LiveMD as part of a comprehensive bone program. LiveMD is a Class 1 medical device cleared by the FDA. It creates a gentle, low-intensity vibration to benefit your musculoskeletal system. It's a safe, scientifically proven, and simple approach to maintaining musculoskeletal health and wellness. It really works, just 10 minutes per day. Go to livemd.us, that's livmd.us, to learn more about how LiveMD may improve your health. That's livmd.us. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and that means that we are answering your questions with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin. So what is our next question, please, Layla?
Our next question comes from Michelle. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I'm 59 years old, and I've been taking Synthroid 0.88 milligram for 22 years. I've been on this dosage most of these years, and my endocrinologist recently told me I could use a little more, but decided to stick with this dose. I've always felt the Synthroid hasn't really helped, and I'm considering switching to Naturethroid. I read, however, there could be some problems with the body adjusting to Naturethroid after taking Synthroid for such a long time. Do you know of any problems switching to Naturethroid? I'm fearful it might make symptoms worse. Is this true?
Right. You know, this is actually something that I'm very familiar with. I do this on a routine basis because, yeah. And we can go into this thyroid thing at great length and do, you know, an entire podcast or series of podcasts on it. But the main point here is that Synthroid is the common conventionally used thyroid replacement, and it consists of just T4. Some people don't do well with just T4. They need the T3-T4 combination that's found in Naturethroid or Armour Thyroid or Euthroid, their various formulations, to feel good. And, yeah. You know, life is short. And, you know, the problem with endocrinologists is that, you know, I love them dearly. They're brilliant. I think if I had to, were given a choice of, you know, what subspecialty to go into again, if I had to take a fellowship, I would very readily take a fellowship in endocrinology. But they're kind of hamstrung by the training that they get, which often teaches them that anything other than Synthroid or levothyroxine, L-thyroxine, is old-fashioned, potentially dangerous, hard to regulate, hard to test for. And so they want to keep it simple. And they rely more on the blood test than on the patient's subjective report. Now, the pitfall of relying on a patient's subjective report is if a patient tells you they don't feel good, there could be a million reasons other than thyroid that they don't feel good. But I think that every patient who's on thyroid deserves a chance to see if we can optimize how they feel with a trial of natural thyroid. And I've just seen it again and again, I mean, dozens and scores of times, how much better people respond to natural thyroid. Not always. There's some people who just do fine on Synthroid. Again, different strokes for different folks. They're just fine, and it's easy, and it's, you know, no big deal. It does require some expertise to make that that transition. I liken the transition from Synthroid to something like Naturethroid a little bit like, you know, in the circus act when the trapeze artists, you know, leap in the air, and then hopefully the timing is perfect. They'll be caught by the other person.
Everybody
swinging from the trapeze.
Their breath.
Right.
Yes.
Sometimes you guess right about the equivalence, and sometimes it takes a couple of tries. Lately, I think I've been really lucky because I've made some good decisions about with pretty good feel for the equivalence of the other stuff because it's different. It, for example, Synthroid 0.88, I think she said she's on. Is that what correct?
0.88.
Yeah, 0.088 it is.
Okay.
You know, that may translate to a grain of Armour Thyroid or a grain of Euthroid or a grain and a half. But, you know, you have to sometimes take a guess, see how the patient feels, do some tests, and it may take a while to get it right.
It's a delicate dance.
Yeah, and I think right. that actually endocrinologists are even a little less familiar with that than experienced integrative physicians like myself who've been doing this for a long time. And God bless them, they're very good at certain things that I wouldn't even attempt.
So I hear that Hillary Clinton takes Armour Thyroid.
Yes, that's very interesting. I think she's a patient of Dr. Mark Hyman, who
okay.
believes in natural...
I'm saying, who's giving her that?
Yeah, yeah. Which is yeah. really interesting. I mean, you know, here's the thing. I mean, she's likely to be our next president, and under her administration, it's very likely that it's going to get harder and harder to get the very drug that she treasures. You know, because of the
that would be ironic.
The
yeah.
heavy
yeah.
federal bureaucracy that's regulating some of these natural alternatives out of existence, and you know, so one can only hope that if she were to get elected, that this would provide a little bit of an impetus to at least natural thyroid prescribing. But don't hold your breath.
Right. Well, Michelle, hang in there, and if you're looking for a practitioner in the New York area, Dr. Hoffman does this endocrinology stuff wonderfully. I've seen him do it.
Yeah.
So.
And I feel like this is actually one of the things where I've had to depart from my conventional medical training. And you know, it's not easy to do that because you're subject to criticism. You're taking the path less traveled. But once I got involved in natural thyroid prescribing, I would never look back. It just has so transformed the lives of so many patients. It's been so helpful that it's something that I never regret having done.
Yeah, and I witness it around here every day. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. Michelle, thank you very, very much, and best of luck in making the switch. All right. We have, this comes from Hawaii.
All right.
This comes from Evan.
I wish we had a musical sound effect here.
I know, right? A little ukulele or something. Right. Evan writes, "Aloha, thanks so much for all the great health information you share."
By the way, we have a radio affiliate in, I think, the Big Island. Or the Big Island or Maui or Kauai, I'm not sure. But
he's in Maui.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and he says, "I listen faithfully to all your programs on TuneIn Radio on my phone."
Oh, okay, that's a way to anyway to can listen anywhere. Great.
Right. Evan writes, "I was just listening to you again on one of your weekend shows where you discussed supplements pertaining to skin cancer and prevention."
Yeah.
And you had mentioned, among other things, a product called HelioCare, which I was quite curious about. In digging into
and of course,
further,
he's on Maui, so he should be concerned, right? A lot of sun there, right?
A lot of sun there, exactly. Digging a little further, I realized it contains titanium dioxide, which is possible carcinogen. Not sure why they would have that in their products, as it is one of the products in many of the cheap brands of supplements and rarely found in one of the more cleaner brands.
I thought I would just let you know. This is the thing that bothers me about some of these supplements that are innovative, but they're made for mass market. You know, clearly this is made for mass market. Yeah. It's not made for aficionados who know that titanium is a potentially problematic ingredient.
You like the word aficionado today.
I love it, yeah. How many times have you said it? I better stop saying it, okay.
No.
So HelioCare contains something called fern block, and it refers to a natural plant, which is difficult to pronounce, Polypodium leucotomos. It contains an extract of that, which is a brand name fern block. And this has actually been demonstrated. There's a science for this that shows that this is one of the things that has powerful antioxidant effects when taken internally. This is not a cream that you apply to the skin. You know, there's like titanium dioxide sunscreens. Okay, you apply them to your skin.
Yeah.
No, but this is like just a coloring agent for the pill. And darn it, I don't know why they do that. But look, it doesn't render it unusable because as long as the titanium dioxide is not nano form of titanium dioxide, it's just the you know, the crystalline
micro
form of type.
Micro is better.
Micro is better. Exactly. Micro versus nano. Nano is smaller, more dangerous. Micro, mm-hmm. I would say for anybody with ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, you know, severe irritable bowel, it has gastrointestinal effects. I wouldn't do it. You know, this is the real deal. I think there's some real technologies that can be used for prevention of skin cancer, or even like sunscreens that you take internally. This does not mean you can bake indiscriminately in the sun and, you know, give yourself wrinkles and skin cancer at the same time. It is one of the plausible things. And I actually wrote about this this May, you know, the beginning of the summer. It's like, I don't know, so 12 natural substances that can be used to prevent skin cancer. And among them, I think one of the most exciting is niacinamide. Mm-hmm. Niacinamide, which was written up recently in the New England Journal of Medicine, because 500 milligrams twice daily of niacinamide can virtually halve the risk of skin cancer, non-melanoma skin cancer, but only while you take it. The effects wear off if you stop taking it. But for those who keep, you know, I call it barnacle scraping, people who just keep going and going and going, they're all the time going to the dermatologist every 6 months. It's like, you know, they're cutting away at them. The dermatologists are financing their kids' college educations and buying new Mercedes and Land Rovers. And the people are just getting their skin carved away. That would be a good argument for using something like niacinamide to prevent skin cancer. And perhaps HelioCare, astaxanthin has these benefits, EGCG from green tea. And, you know, there's several. There are several things.
Any of the carotenoids, lycopene.
Carotenoids, yep. Mm-hmm. Lycopene, too.
Yeah. Evan actually has another question.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, he's got a question about olive leaf. He writes, on another point, if you take natural antibiotic supplements such as olive leaf extract, do they destroy the good bacteria in your gut, or are they somehow selected? We've gotten a question like this before.
Why don't you talk about it?
Yeah. Well, olive leaf, I imagine, is going to be somewhat selective and destroy bad bacteria more than anything.
Generally, you know, the advantage of using the botanicals is that they are more, shall we say,
discerning.
They're discerning, but also sort of weaker. They suppress the population of bad bacteria, but they don't eradicate everything. Whereas, you know, you cut a very broad swath with antibiotics. Now, you know, it's virtually impossible to sterilize the gut. You really can't, because there's so much antibiotic resistance these days. And one of the advantages of using these natural botanicals, another advantage is that they have multiple modes of action in terms of suppressing the bacteria. They have many, many compounds that have a synergistic effect in terms of suppressing the bad bugs. So it's less likely that antibiotic resistance will emerge. If you have just one laser-like mechanism that kills bacteria, the bacteria can quickly evolve to become resistant, and then they swap genetic material. They you know, say, hey, to their adjacent bacteria, hey, you need this? Yeah, here, I'll share this gene with you that will enable you to survive. The interesting fact is there's probably about 100 times more genetic material in our gastrointestinal tracts than in our bodies. There's so much versatility.
Wow.
And, you know, they don't even have to, you know, compose music or, interpret poetry or do podcasts, but they have 100 times more genetic material than we do. You know, it's pretty wild.
But your gut will be singing very happily when your microbiome is happy and...
Yeah.
Regularly re-inoculated with healthy bacteria and good quality probiotics.
And you know, there's something to be said for this, the natural synergy that occurs with food substances, because our bodies are used to things like olive leaf extract for thousands and thousands of years. You know, people have consumed olives. They used olive leaf medicinally. You could probably find references to it in the Bible and in ancient Roman and Greek writings. You know, as a result, we have become adapted somewhat to their effects, and it's less likely that you're going to have problems.
Yeah, yeah. Evan says, mahalo for all the podcasts.
Okay, mahalo to you as well.
Evan, thank you very much.
I don't know,
how do you say
you're welcome in Hawaiian? We'll have to look it up.
I don't know. Yeah. Doesn't aloha mean a lot of things anyway? Maybe, okay.
Mahalo means thank you.
You're welcome.
Mahalo means thank you. I know two words, you know, aloha and mahalo.
Yeah.
And hula. I know hula.
Hula. Okay.
Hula. I know poi. Hula, hula. Poi, that's another word I know, poi.
Poi, right.
You ever tasted poi?
No, but I've had barbecued, you know, I've had pork roast.
Have you ever tasted library paste? You ever tasted library paste?
No.
No, it tastes like, that's what poi tastes like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's
not that great. Never mind.
Yeah. They like spam over there, too. They really like spam.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's a delicacy over there.
Meat in a can. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Our next question is from Nick. I've been an avid listener to your radio show and podcast for years. You're the best. I really appreciate your advice and wonderful integrative medicine education. I've got a question for you, Dr. Hoffman. I just had an endoscopy where they found a couple of areas of erosion in my stomach. I've been taking daily low-dose aspirin, which my doctor has since told me to stop taking.
Right. See?
Anyway.
Wait, hang on.
Hang on.
This is what happens, you see. There are, you know, we used to have this recommendation that if everybody over 40 just took a low-dose aspirin a day, we would save how many lives, you know, heart attacks.
No.
And yes, we would save some lives, but then a very small percentage, perhaps 1% or less of people would develop ulcers or stomach erosions, gastrointestinal distress, anemia from bleeding. You know, 1%, mm-hmm. that's no big deal. But, like, multiply that by, you know, 100 million people taking aspirin preventively, and what do you get? You know, what is, you know, that's a million people, a million unnecessary ulcers or, you know, gastrointestinal problems.
And, you know, a lot of people aren't aware that another side effect of taking daily aspirin is tinnitus. Ringing of the ears.
Yes, that too.
So, yeah. Anyway, let me get back to Nick's question
here.
So, to heal my stomach, the GI doctor said she's going to put me on a proton pump inhibitor for a couple of months.
Hey.
As I recall from listening to your podcast, I thought you and or Layla had mentioned that PPIs can negatively alter intestinal flora.
Right.
That said, is there a supplement or probiotic that you might suggest to lessen the negative side effects of the PPI?
Yeah, you know, let me just say, and then I'll let you answer this question, because I usually just say to people like that, is go see Layla, she's got the answer for you. But I'll say briefly, is that sometimes you need to take a PPI because it actually will stop the acid, and it'll give your stomach a chance to heal and recover. And sometimes it's hard to recover when you're still producing stomach acid once you've eroded through your stomach lining. That being said, we like to do it for a short period of time, like 90 days, and then we like to gradually wean patients off, because patients get a little hooked on that, and going off too precipitously can be
cause a rebound.
Okay, and then people think they need to be on it for life. It is bad. It does disrupt your flora. It does create a higher risk of C. difficile. It causes osteoporosis. There are a lot of reasons not to be on PPIs long term, but maybe you know, short term would be okay. But that being said, let's assume that this is a patient we're going to try natural therapies on. What would that entail?
Even in addition to the PPI, I would definitely encourage use of DGL and Endothin. This is a wonderful powder that you take twice daily, 2 level tablespoons in some water twice a day on an empty stomach, to also help to heal your stomach. And this is something that, Nick, you should continue even after you're done with the PPI.
Right.
So that would be in your best interest. It could help with the and I want to mention glutamine as well.
It's in there.
Coming back to the glutamine topic, it could be very, very healing for the gut. It's the gut's preferred amino acid for the feeding and turnover of the epithelium of the gut, and including the stomach. So all of
what
that
else is there? There's some marshmallow in there. There's some aloe in it.
Yeah, marshmallow, and it's got some, I think it's got some EGCG in there.
Cinnamon. It has cinnamon in it.
Slippery elm.
Cinnamon. Yeah. Yeah. Cinnamon, which is actually a cooling agent, you know, it's used in traditional Chinese medicine for inflammatory conditions. Okay, so those are some of the things that we would use in lieu, possibly in lieu of a PPI. I mean, but, you know, all that unnecessary because the person followed the advice, took the aspirin. There are people who need to take aspirin. But, you know, so say you've had, you know, a series of strokes. Well, you probably need to take aspirin or perhaps a stronger blood thinner. Say you have had, you have angina, or if you have, you know, demonstrable, you know, serious blockage of your coronary arteries, if not aspirin, something stronger to thin your blood. That makes sense. So you have, you know, if you have heart arrhythmias, aspirin might be a good preventive, or maybe even something stronger to prevent blood clots from forming. So,
and doctors have to stop giving the advice of take your aspirin at night. That to me means on an empty stomach, and that's the best way to cause harm.
Because just sit there. It'll just sit there.
You want to take it with food, even if it's an enterocoated aspirin, even if it's Ecotrin.
Yeah.
You want to still
and that
take enterocoating, it on a full
stomach. That enterocoating, I mean, studies have shown that enterocoating doesn't help. It just doesn't help you know, you think that the enterocoating, it's going to not open in your stomach, it'll always open up in your intestine. The big problem with enterocoated products is that everybody's digestive system is different. And for one person, it works. And for another person, it makes it completely indigestible and the thing clinks into the toilet because it's so armor clad. And for another person, it's not coated adequately because they have slow transit and it ends up opening in the stomach anyway. So, you know, this enteric coating thing, very variable, not 100% insurance that something will either be properly absorbed or will stay away from the stomach. Okay, we have time for one more question, if you have one.
Okay. Nick, thank you for that great question. We've got a question here from Billy. Dr. Hoffman, what do you think about true lime packets in water? I use them every day. I don't use their other brands that have sugar. Well, Billy, guess what? I'm looking right now at True Lemon and True Lime, and I'm reading the ingredients, and let me read it to you.
Yeah.
Citric acid, malic acid, lime oil, lime juice, ascorbic acid, which is vitamin C, sugar, stevia leaf extract, natural flavor, turmeric, caramel, and spirulina for color. It does have 3 grams of carbs. It does have a gram of sugar. There is sugar in here, so there is sugar in the product.
What is it?
Drink your water with a little bit of lemon or lime, natural.
Well, this is a tablet or something that flavors water? Is that
the
idea?
It's like yes, exactly.
Okay.
For people, I guess, who don't like the taste of water, they could turn it into a little bit of lemonade or limeade.
It doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world. Does it have artificial sweetener in it?
No, it's got sugar and it's got stevia leaf.
Okay. Well, stevia, it would be a natural sweetener. Yeah, okay. So, stevia on its own doesn't taste that great, so you have to sometimes add a little sugar to make it worth.
Right.
Look, I mean, if it's going to float your boat and you don't have a blood sugar problem and, you know, say you're exercising a lot and you want to hydrate and you want to put a little flavor in there, it's probably not the worst thing in the world.
Or just have a little natural lemon or lime.
Yeah, why not?
You know. That's it, Billy. Thank you for your question.
All right, and thank you, listeners, for your questions. Keep them coming, and if you haven't heard an answer to your question yet, it's just simply because we're backlogged. We get a lot of questions. We also want to encourage you this Christmas season to give the gift of health via drhoffman.com. You can click on Shop, and there you'll find our Hoffman Center dispensary, which contains the self-same supplements that we give to our patients at the Hoffman Center. They're available to you, the general public, at competitive costs. We have a price match guarantee, so if you find something elsewhere that's same product for cheaper, we will match the price. And you'll also find that the products are the highest quality, personally selected by yours truly, in conjunction with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mutin. And you can also thereby assure that you will get a continued stream of free health information via drhoffman.com and via the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. We love doing it, but there are costs associated with putting these things on. And we'd love to have you both enjoy good health and help defray our costs by having you patronize the Hoffman Center store. We've got an electronic store. You can order or you can call directly the Hoffman Center, 212-779-1744, and talk to one of our helpful supplement professionals to get information about the supplements we offer. That pretty much covers it, Layla.
Yeah.
Well, thanks okay. very much for joining us. And
thank you.
We'll be back again next week to answer your questions on our weekly Q&A with Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.